Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, welcome somebody to church. Say it's good for us to be here today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure we are still breathing the air of our conference, right? Ah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, today I'm going to be talking to you from a topic that I titled A Look at God's Testimony. A Look at God's Testimony. Trust me, it's something that is really going to be a blessing to you. You know, there are times in our life that we require some services here and there. You can talk about the service of a hairdresser, if you're a lady, then a barber, a tailor, a plumber, and we can keep listening. But one thing you require, one thing you want, is that you want someone that does a good job, right? You don't want someone that will mess up things for you. And trust me, some of them are good at messing up things for you. Especially ladies. When they tell you that hairdresser, she's a big worker. By the time you are done and you look at the mirror, the only thing you have to say is, oh my God, they just used my hair to do practical today. And you know, you are filled with disappointment. So you want someone that knows what he or she is doing to attend to those services. But the only way you can get that has to be through recommendation. Right? The only way you can get someone that is good at his or her job has to be recommendation. It has to be someone that has received the same service. Alright? That can tell you that, oh, this person is good. Oh, that hairdresser, Mrs. Janet, she's a very good hairdresser. If you go to her shop, be rest assured, I'm the one telling you that your hair is going to be beautiful. That plumber is good. If he touches anything in your house, he does any plumbing work, that's going to be the end of your stress and all the problem you've been having. So that recommendation comes in there for you to be able to, you know, hire this person, for you to be able to work with this person. The recommendation also has to follow an evidence. We all know this part. You come to a person. I've personally suffered from it. Please, I need someone that will do a wallpaper for me. Go and meet that guy. He's very good. Without any evidence of his work. And then he comes to my place, put up the wallpaper. By the time you are done, you are staring at your wall and he's speaking very terrible things to you that you will not be able to describe with your mouth. You are highly disappointed. So you want this evidence. You want the person to show you. You are saying, Auntie, I know you've gone to this salon. Please, show me. Show me the kind of hair she has made for you. I need a picture of her previous work. Or I need you to show me the kind of furniture that this carpenter has made for you. Is it the one that made your bed? You want to ask those intricate questions. So it's not going to be just him or she pointing to one person. This carpenter is good or this one is good. Without an evidence. So that evidence gives you that confidence to hire this person. And you know, with that, you are literally rest assured when you are working with this person. Let's say, for example, he comes over to your house. Please stay with me. I'm going somewhere very important. He comes over to your house. Let's say, for example, a plumber. And then he tells you that, I need to go and get some materials. All right? I need to go and get some materials. And then time is running out. 1 hour, he's not back. 2 hours, he's not back. The next thing, your mind is already calculating. It's as if my money has waka alongside with this guy. But the only thing that will calm you down is that you immediately remember that, no. Mr. Kennedy told me that this person can never fail you. That if you are giving him his word that he's going to do this job for you, be rest assured, like you can trust him. You don't need to panic, you don't need to bother yourself. And then he gives you a lot of evidence of, oh, he's the one that did my plumbing work in this place, in my office, in my home, and all of that. So when all those thoughts come to your mind, what happened? You just take a deep breath. You can now be relaxed and say, okay, for sure, maybe something is delaying him, maybe there is hold up and all of that, all right? Because you have this recommendation that is based on evidence. Now, 2025, our just concluded conference, was so powerful. I'm sure we can all testify to that. And during the conference, Pastor made us to understand that soul winning is the core of the Christian life. That one armor that we need to put on is that of the gospel of peace. You know, he showed us when the Father, when God asked us, he said, now you are my son, I'll be continuing. Ask of me of the Hades as an inheritance. He said, so, like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is the core of your life. And also yesterday, when Apostle was taking time 1 hour, he also, you know, led us to a scripture that made us understand that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we can stand and say that as a Christian, this is our life. This is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be spreading the good news. We ought to be bringing people to Christ. As we already established in the house as children, we also be bringing people to the house and saying, come and meet my Jesus, come and meet my Jesus. With your whole life, you are saying that to your whole life. Pastor made us understand that your whole life is now towards this direction. You are working for that purpose. You now understand that you have to be diligent because you want to reflect the nature of Christ, how they can come to him. You're generating money so you can finance the gospel. It can get to the ends of the earth. So your whole life is now towards that direction, to be a light to the Gentiles, to bring many to Christ, all right? We are made to understand that. And my joy is, I can say for a certain that what pastor, we are great people. So I know that we have adopted this truth. And we have made up our mind that this is going to be what we are going to be living for. Alright? This is going to be our whole life. Our whole life is going to be to bring people to Jesus, to bring people to get to know him, to bring people to our Father. This is what our life is going to be all about. And I, like I said, I'm really very excited for that decision. But one thing is this. Some of us, or let me say virtually everybody, most likely will have sat back and, you know, go through some form of thinking when they're alone and do some math, some plus and minus, some calculation, that with this decision I've made now for my whole life to be for the gospel, to bring people to Jesus, it's a very deep one, no? The way I'm looking at it, the matter is serious. So I'm going to be financing the gospel with my money, my time is going to be involved and all of that. The thing is, this God that I'm committing all this thing to, what is he like when you embark on this journey with him? What happens to the people that embark on this journey with him? We are talking about your whole life. Your whole life. So what happens when a man commits himself to him? What happens when a man decides to go on this journey with him? What happens to that life? Is the life going to be somehow damaged? Am I going to lose some things because of this decision I've made? Come on, church, stay with me. I'm going to be giving him my time, my everything. So with this decision I made, am I going to be being on the loose end? Am I going to be the one losing, or am I going to be gaining? What is it going to be like? What can I say of a certain that will happen to me as a virtue of this decision that I have made? Now, the only way me and you can be certain of that matter, of this question that we're all asking right now in our minds, is that we have to look at or look for someone else that has embarked on a life journey with him. That's the only way we can have peace of mind. Alright? That's the only way we can get those questions really, really being answered in a way that we can be comfortable and be okay. I'm saying, okay. Now, I know what I'm doing. This journey I'm about to embark on, I can tell you what I'm expecting. I can tell you what will happen to me. without a reference, there is no way we can be certain. All right? Now, the best place to get this kind of reference, or rather, let's use the word practical example. The best place we can get this practical example has to be from the scriptures. It has to be from the Bible. So, we're going to be looking at lives today that embarked on a life journey with God, and we're going to be looking at the flow of that life and what happened to that person, so that we can stand, you know, and say, for sure, I know now what will become of my life. I know the God I have committed my life to. I know the God I'm about to embark on this journey with. Praise the Lord. So, let's start from Isaiah chapter number 51, verse number 2. I'm very confident today that you're going to live here blessed. Yes, you will. This is something very important. Many Christians are afraid when they want to, you know, give themselves to the work of the Lord, live for Him. The devil brings in so many distractions. They look at their friends and it's almost like there's something to envy. Like, huh? If I was not doing this now, I would have been. You know, there's that here and there. So those things are going to be sorted out today. So yes, let's begin. Isaiah chapter number 51, verse number 2. Oh, please, let's start from verse number 1. I still like that part. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. He's talking to you now. You who seek the Lord. Are you seeing your name there? He said, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Okay, please continue. Okay, no, take me back to verse number 2. Yes, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Let's stop here. He said, look. Look. Now, the moment I tell you to look, I'm trying to point your attention to something. Alright? I want to say something. I want to show you something. I'm going somewhere. So, he said, look to Abraham, your father, and look to Sarah, who bore you. I'm telling you to look so that you can get to see this life and know what I do, the kind of person I am. Right? It's more like saying you, this is my testimonial. This is who I am. So he said, look to Abraham, look to Sarah. He said, I called him alone and I blessed him and increased him. I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. He started by saying, you who seek after righteousness, right? So you that have made up your mind, that have decided that I'm going to follow this God, I'm going to live for Him, my life is going to be for Him. He says, now, you have made this decision. Now, this decision is, I want you to anchor it based on this evidence, right? Of who I am and what I do with the lives of people that are committed to me. He said, this is what I do with their life. I bless them and I increase them. I bless them and increase them. He said, if you say before now you don't have any evidence, you know, you have been told that, oh, this God is a good God, he's this, they have told, you know, they've told you many, many good things about me, but you don't have an evidence. Today, I've come to show you this evidence. I've come to show you the kind of God that you have committed your life to. That he's a kind of God that when he calls you, when you commit your life to him, you can never lose. The word is never. Never. Do you understand? Now, the Bible made us to understand that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth is established, right? So, take us to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. This is Abraham. Let's look at another life, the life of David. 2 Samuel chapter number 5, verse number 4. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Hebron. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Now, we can stop there. We all know the story of David. When God picked David up, what was he doing? He was just a shepherd boy following sheep, so. Alright? But in this place, we are seeing them giving us the credentials, or rather, the life of David. That at the end of the day, this guy that was following sheep ended up becoming king over Hebron, first of all. He now later became king over all Israel and Judah. So, you look at that life, can you say that there was any down part? Can you say that at the end of the day that God disappointed him? So you too can stand in that confidence. You can say to yourself that, I know that if he takes all this life, we have looked at the life of Abraham, now this is the life of David, I can tell where my own is heading to. I can tell that the same way they had a fulfilled life, that me too I'm going to have a fulfilled life. I can tell that my time that I'm going to give to him is not going to be a waste. My money, everything about me that I'm going to give to him, to his service, is not going to be a waste. No. My commitment to him is not going to end me in destruction. It's not possible. Now, the same psalmist in the book of Psalm chapter number 37, verse number 25. It says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendant begging bread. Do you need me to say more things? Do I really need to continue preaching? At this point, I should be able to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, let all of us go home. Look at the word there. Since he said, I have been young and I'm old, yet I have not seen. I think the King James used never. I have not seen, meaning not once, not at any time. It has never occurred that a righteous man was forsaken. It has never occurred that a righteous man was abandoned by God. It has never occurred that anyone that walked with him was disappointed. He said it has never, the word never, it has not been seen. It has, in history, in the book of history, it has never occurred that the man was forsaken by God. Come on, church. He said, I've never seen it. You know, when I read this particular scripture, there was so much joy in my heart. I told myself, with this alone, people should be able to go home. I said, now I can live for him. I can say that my walk with him, that rather in my walk with him as a Christian, I'm going to have a fulfilled life. I'm going to have a fulfilled life. It can never end up in destruction. It can never. It has never happened. Many of us have withheld from God. We have withheld from God our services and our commitment because of this uncertainty in our heart of what becomes of the man that chooses to follow God. But I've shown you today, or rather still showing you, that the man can never be disappointed. That God never disappoints anyone. Never. He has never forsaken anyone. Forsaking anyone that actually follows him, that chooses to live for him, anyone that commits his life to him wholeheartedly, they always end up with a glorious life. Are you still here with me? Please stay with my thoughts. Stay with me. this path that we are treading on is quite something. You're going to meet difficulties on your path, all right? You're going to meet things that are going to raise up questions in your heart. But looking at the nature of God in the lives of these people, of how faithful He was with them, will help you to go through the storm. When the storm arises in your life, as a result of your commitment to Him, as a result of your service, as a result of your life, you know, being poured out for Him, you can stand and say that the God I know, He never forsook David, He never forsook Abraham, He never forsook disciples. Me, I am certain that I'm going to come out of this storm. I am certain that this God that never fails, that have never failed, is never going to forsake me. You know, I started with those examples. When you go to the lady's shop that they recommended you to make your hair with those evidence, you sit down with a certain level of confidence. You sit down knowing that before the hair is being made, you can say that I know I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home looking good today. I'm going to go home looking very, very good today because of the recommendation with the evidence that was shown to you. Now, all these lives, they are pointing to us the nature of God, the kind of Father we have, the person that we are actually serving, the kind of God that He is. That He is a kind of God that never ever fails. That He never, never, ever, He has never forsaken those that actually commit their life to Him. Rather, He takes them through the path of glory. He causes them to have a fulfilled life. You look at the life, it's always a life worth envying. I'm telling you today. When you look at the man's fair, you see him filled with wisdom. You think of wisdom. You think of love, kindness. You see a kind of a person, and you are always like, this person. They're small to you. You are different. They are always different. Always exceptional. Come on, church. We're on the right path. Yes, we are. You can be rest assured of that. These are His credentials, the lives of the people that has worked with Him. You know, Peter came up one time and he asked Jesus. He said, "Master, we have left everything to follow you. Everything. What will happen to us?" Jesus answered directly. He said, "No man has left family, house, land, whatever it is to follow me." He said, "That will not get the reward in this life and eternal life." He shows this clearly. He said, "In this life, I will never forsake the man. Never." I'm not talking about you parking 20 cars in your house. So I'm saying He will remain faithful to you to the end. I'm saying you can trust Him. You can trust Him because He's going to go with you every day in your life. He's going to be there backing you up. He will never disappoint you. You will never call on Him and He will turn His back on you. It has never happened. The man said never. It has never happened to anybody. We are literally afraid for nothing. I've come to, you know, to tear down and destroy those fears that the devil has planted in your heart that is hindering you, or that will ever want to hinder you in your life, in your service with the Lord. So that no matter what He brings on your way and tells you, "No, abandon this God, you know, what has He done?" You can remember that. No, I remember Abraham. I remember David. I remember the apostles. There are no men that you look at and you say, "I'm ashamed of them." If not, why do you name your sons Peter? Why do you name them Paul? If their life was so useless, why do you call them by their names? You do that because you know that they were men of reputation.
You do that because you know that these men had honor. They were people you could reckon with. Why? Because the kind of person that they committed their life to made their life so. It made their life worth it. Their life on earth was what you can call a bliss, a sweet life. A life that was productive. A life that was full of fruit. That the person will look back at himself and say, is this my life? Is this me? I was somewhere before. Someone that used to be afraid, filled with fear, filled with anxiety, filled with all of this. But since I started walking with this God, a lot of things has changed in my life. I have a certain level of boldness I've never had before. I have a certain level of confidence I've never had before. I have a certain level of strength that I've never had before. I've seen myself doing things that I've never done before. That is always the end of the man that works with him. Always. There is so much beauty coming from the scriptures. We can say that now. We can be a church on fire for him, living for him, knowing that our life is going to end up being a fulfilled life, a life that will transcend this generation, that people are going to be talking about. I know that brother Alex in my workplace. He was an exceptional man. He was so exceptional. You cannot find him with things that has to do with corruption. He was the one that the workers used to meet at night. They know when they find him, when they're looking for truth. In the day, it looks as if everything is normal. But they know where to go and fight him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just this is the scripture. It said, everyone that has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife, said, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Did you see that? This is directly from Jesus. Directly. He's testifying of himself, of what he does, to the life that follows him. He said, this is who I am. This is what I will do with your life. This is what I will do with your life. Your life is going to be fulfilled. Just like the hairdresser will tell you, oh, they recommended you to me. Don't worry, relax. And you can really relax because you have evidence. Now, you should be able to relax with this God, with all this evidence, with his words. His words. He's saying, you're going to receive a hundredfold and you're going to inherit eternal life. This is his words. And also with his words of a man that has walked with him. David came to a conclusion in the book of Psalms. He said, I have never. You know what it means for someone to say, I have never? It means from my own life, oh, from the life of the past generations, from the life of my own father, from the life of my neighbors, everyone I have seen that followed after him, anyone that you can say, oh, this is a righteous man, this is a man that lived for him, he said they have never been forsaken. He said never. He was coming from, you know, from every, should I say, every form of lives that God has taken, you know, around him. And he looked at every one of them and said, this is me, oh. My own life, he has never failed me. I look back to this brother, so person like that. I look back, he now say, I have a conclusion. He said, this is the conclusion. He said, this is the conclusion. If you want to live for that God, come and meet me. I have a testimony about him. I can tell you about him. I can tell you who he is. I can tell you what he will do with your life. Because I've seen him. He has done the same thing with my life. He has done the same thing with my neighbor's life. He has done the same thing with my brother's life. See, in this matter, I can tell you for certain that you can go and sleep. That's what David was saying in that scripture. He said, I can tell you, go and rest. You don't have anything to bother yourself about. Your life is going to be great. That's what he's saying. He said, you can never, it will never be destroyed. Never. Nothing will happen. He said, I can tell you, go and sleep. Don't worry. We have done it. When you look at Abraham, do you know how many generations we are talking about? Please, consider this with me. When you look at Abraham, do you know how many generations we are talking about? So if the same God we are talking about today, was faithful to that man in that generation, was faithful to David, he said, I am the same. Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So if he says that, and we are seeing these examples from generations backward, so what do you think is also going to happen to your life today? The same thing. He said, I'm the same. I don't change. So if you see me do so thing in this man's life 100 years backward, know that it's the same thing I'm going to do with your life. Glory be to God. He said, no, that I'm going to do the same thing with your life. If you choose to follow me, you've made up your mind now that this is what I'm going to do. He said, if you have made up your mind like this, you have decided that this is what it's going to be. He said, be rest assured, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I can't change. Nothing will happen. Nothing makes me change. So when you come in contact with challenges in your life, you can be rest assured, like I said, that this God that they've talked about now, it's a settled matter. Come on, say to your neighbor, he can never fail you. He has never failed anyone. And he will not begin with you. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
This is actually a very simple message. Truthfully, I don't need to elongate it more than this. It is very clear from the scriptures. We have evidence, practical ones, from all these lives. You know the sweet thing about him is that everything he does transcends beyond this life into eternity. That is why he added to that part where he said to Peter, even eternal life. Now, someone else testifies of that, and that is Paul. Please go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm sure you are here with me, right? Because I'm nearing the end of my service today. It's a very simple but a very powerful thought. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse numbers. Please, let me start from 6. I know I gave you 7. Let me start from 6. It says, I have already been poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul, as we all know, was a man that dedicated his whole life to Christ, true and true, when he was on earth. His whole life. Now the man is saying, for I am already poured out as a drink offering. Like, my whole life, everything was given to him. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Hallelujah. I have kept the faith. Go on. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Did you see that, church? I'm using the scriptures to show us that there is an eternal benefit with working with God. Beyond your life here on earth, that through his words, through his help, his grace, you are able to navigate all through the storms and the journey of life and all of that. He promises, he tells you that there is also an eternal reward connected to this life. And if you are here, you are not thinking of eternity. I actually don't know what you are doing. And I am very serious right now. I don't know what you are doing. Because you can't separate yourself from the fact that one day you will depart from this earth. Pretend about it. Try to forget. Act as though it does not exist. Just say, I don't care. It doesn't mean that it will not happen. No. It must happen. It will surely happen. Now he says to the man that works with him that there is an eternal reward awaiting the man. Now these were part of the, I would say, credentials of Paul, that credentials of God that Paul knew. He knew that in working with him, that he will never forsake him. He's going to stay faithful with him. Are you still with me now? That God is going to be faithful to him. Rather, God is going to be faithful to him through his journey on earth. And also, as he departs from this life into eternity, there is a reward waiting for him. These were the things that Paul knew. And I'm sharing with you today so that you can continue on this journey that you have begun. Glory be to God. So that you can be on this path continuously. So that you can understand that this is what it's going to be like. Paul says it. He said, I know what is waiting for me. This whole life, this whole thing I was doing, I know what is waiting. After he has delivered me from all the troubles and everything on earth, he has helped me, given me wisdom to navigate my life, given me the strength that I require to do the things I need to do. After all of that, he said, one thing is waiting for me. He says, a crown of righteousness. There's a reward waiting for me. And he now makes it clear. He says, no, everybody that believed this is report, that believed him, that chose to also walk on this path, he said the same thing is waiting for them. And the sweet part is Jesus said the same thing in Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation 22 from, I think that was verse 12. He said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. My reward is with me. He said, I will give to everyone according to his work. That is for sure. So when, as you're on this path with him, know for certain that he will never forsake you. Know for certain that there is an eternal reward waiting for you. These are some of the truths that the church needs to be armed with. Because like I told you, it's not going to be rosy true and true. It will be a lie if I tell you that. But I'm certain that the God that me and you have decided to commit our life to will never forsake us. I am certain of the fact that your life on earth here is going to be a fulfilled life. And when you depart from here, when you meet him, you're going to be entering into glory and you're going to be getting a reward. It is for sure. So you don't need to put a brake, put your feet on that brake pad. No. Don't. It should be on acceleration. Continuously. You've made the decision. This truth is coming to you to make you know that this is the kind of God that you have committed your life to. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. It has never happened before. Like I said, he will not start with your own life. All you need to do is to just relax. Alright? And walk with him. The same way you can relax in that lady's shop and make your hair. The same way you can relax with that barber and let him cut your hair. The same way you can relax with that plumber and not be bothered about when he's coming back, not be bothered, and have this peace inside of you. You should know for certain that you can have this same kind of confidence now. That this God you have decided to walk with, that he will never, ever, ever forsake you. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. common, I just want you to bow down your head right now and say, Father, I'm going to go all the way with you. I am certain. I know now that you're not a kind of God that forsakes your own. No, you are not. No, my walk with you is going to be fruitful. I'm going to have a fulfilled life. And at the end of the day, it's going to be well done, good and faithful servant. Come into my rest. That's what it's going to be. I'm not going to be disappointed. No, Father, I'm not going to be disappointed. Oh, Kasato Benehina Tomoshata Valiadoza. Leseto Penia Kaladomoshata. Vedose Nina Kato Penetavia. Luberinoma Nakalatomoshate. Oh, Lazado Bene. Lika Panavadomoshata Lealoza. Father, I give you glory, Lord. Lord, my legs right now, I'm putting it on the pedal, on that pedal, Lord. I'm going to accelerate this relationship. This is my work with you. Yes, continuously, Father. Because I have this confidence, this assurance now of who you are, of what will happen to my life. For these I give you praise. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Father, let's talk to God. Se vede mande copra di